Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Drill Down with Marty Stetzer. This podcast is part of our EKT Interactive Oil and Gas Learning Network and brought to you by Oil 101, our free introduction to oil and gas. Today, I'll be speaking with Joe Perino, a longtime friend and industry veteran. This is our first podcast on the important refining and process industry sector, and we're really happy to have Joe join our group as an EKTI associate, helping us focus on this particular part of the business. Joe, welcome.
Thank you, Marty. Good to be here.
Can you give a little bit of your background? I know it's quite extensive since I've known you quite a few years, and especially relating to refining, strategy, processing, automation, etc.
Certainly. I'm entering my 40th year in the industry, this year in 2016, and I started as a chemical engineer in the refining business for Phillips 66 back in 1975. From there, I worked in the midstream for a pipeline company, Northern Natural Gas, Diamond Shamrock, a chemicals firm, and then went off and had a long career in the process automation business, where I spent time crawling around almost every type of facility on multiple continents. Then I also spent time when I was with you at Schlumberger working the upstream, and I pretty much stayed in that area for the last 15 years until recently, when we've seen such a healthy turnaround in the refining sector.
Joe, thanks so much for being part of EKTI. It's interesting, I had a very similar experience, not quite as long as yours, but I started out with 13 years in refining, supply, and marketing with Exxon. Always wanted to get into the upstream. So I switched over to the upstream side of the business for about 15 years, including some work with Schlumberger, where we met. But you're right, there's been such a change in the industry since the collapse in crude price. But a lot of people don't know that even though the upstream is in terrible shape, the downstream and chemicals industry in the U.S. is really doing pretty well.
Well, that's true. In fact, this isn't the first time that we've had a downturn on the upstream side. I think we've seen at least three cycles now since the first oil embargo in the 70s. And each time, it's an opportunity for the industry to reinvent itself, get its costs under control, to become more efficient, to integrate better. And this is what refining has been doing for quite some time now. And when the crude price dropped, they took advantage of that. And so you've seen refining, particularly U.S. refiners, become quite profitable with very healthy margins. Even the Europeans and the Asians have done better of late.
Another interesting point, Joe, that I saw when I was in the downstream, we used to say we watched everything in the plant of the pig, including the squeal. Very, very cost-conscious orientation. When I moved into the upstream, it was like money had no object. I found it interesting that recently both Shell and Exxon recently have announced their new leadership will be refiners and downstream folks, because we think, not just we, you and me, but we think the industry is going to be in a very, very long operational efficiency orientation. And being honest, in my opinion, maybe you feel the same way, but the refiners were always more oriented that way because the margins were thin, where the upstream, the margins are just enormous. What do you think?
Well, that's correct, Marty. One of the things that maybe upstream is beginning to learn with this downturn is that in the past, refining, of course, has always been a margin business, and they've had to learn to control costs and be agile and move when they could. Upstream has always benefited from an increase in oil price,
right.
And
right.
That can often be confused with better performance.
Right.
Now the upstream companies are starting to look at margins, running their business on a margin basis rather than on produced to the maximum volume.
Right.
So which crude or which product brings in the most dollars as opposed to simply pumping out the volume of a crude that might not be as valuable on the market as it used to be.
Right.
And they've gotten this consciousness now. Hopefully this will stick, because when oil prices go back up, what we've typically seen in the past is upstream firms have reverted to their past ways of becoming sloppy and overspending because the oil price covered up all of that.
Right. The other thing I guess I've noticed in the downstream side of the business is they have much more of a supply chain orientation to it. The understanding where your crude sources are, the efficient ways of getting it to the plant, watching the margin, as you mentioned, integrating it with the offtake side of the plant all the way through to the wholesale marketing side. And it's only recently that I've heard the term supply chain applied in the upstream. And most of that's been to these big shale plays where they're drilling hundreds of wells with dozens of rigs and getting their rig moved to the location, inside the location is important, getting the products and services to the site is important. But it's been interesting that here it is the year 2000s and they're talking about supply chain where in the 80s and 90s the refiners had that supply chain orientation in their portfolio.
Well, it's been a hard lesson for many upstream companies to learn because they're so used to treating each asset as a separate business, supplying it as a separate business rather than an integrated production machine, which the, call it, factory drilling machine in shale has shown us.
Right.
And admittedly, yes, the business models are somewhat different, but even refining has transitioned from where the refinery was its own business unit to where it is a node in an integrated network of supply and demand, which is steered by the supply and trading community.
Right.
And then the refineries themselves, supply product into that hub for distribution to the wholesale market.
Right. For our audience, this is our first podcast, as I mentioned earlier, in the refining side. And with Joe's industry experience and perspective, I've asked him to think of some topics that would be interesting to our listeners. And we would look to plan a separate podcast on each of those topics. Joe, would you mind running through some of your ideas? And this is just the first four or five of some of the things that we'd like to talk about. And we'd love to hear from our audience on points that would be of interest to you in this important downstream refining sector. So, Joe, what do you think?
Well, certainly, Marty. There are three or four areas I'd like to touch on that I think would be of interest to people today. First, how long are low oil prices going to last? And what's the effect on refining?
You know, if you have the answer to that, we could be do something else. Right?
Well, the prognosticators have, you know, the price rebounding or not rebounding, and, you know, what is really going on behind that. So I'd like to drill down into that a little bit further.
Right. It sounds like the old story of the economists. If you get four economists in the room, you have at least five opinions. Same
yes.
with oil price forecasts.
Or if you have a broken watch, it tells the correct time twice a day.
Twice.
That's right. The second area, of course, is the changing refining landscape in the U.S. And having started out working for Phillips and watching it change over the years, and in particular the recent changes in the last 4 or 5 years with the separation of upstream and downstream in some companies, the consolidation in others, foreign investors, this is an interesting area now. Even Warren Buffett, the billionaire investor, has taken shares in Phillips 66. What's behind that? I'd like to know more.
I would too, because everybody talks about how bad the industry is, but I think I just saw that Valero gave a 25% bump in their dividends. So
yes, indeed.
I think it'll be interesting to our listeners to hear exactly what's going on there. It's still a profitable piece of the business.
A third area is another angle I want to bring to it is I've spent a little bit of time in the last 5 years working in information technology companies and bringing that technology to the industry. And one of the hottest topics today is big data and analytics. So I'd like to look at big data and analytics in refining.
If I can add, Joe, you've got a lot of process control background in your resume. And again, the difference between the upstream and the downstream, the refiners are used to handling thousands and thousands of pieces of data a minute, similar to what's going on with downhole real-time data. But we're not sure that they've leveraged it as much across the supply chain, where the upstream companies leverage it to improve the performance of the rig or improve the performance of the well.
That's
so
true.
I think that would be very topical because a lot of our listeners are IT professionals or professional services professionals.
And then, of course, we're hoping we get a reaction from our audience. They ask more questions, and that will drive more ideas for future podcasts.
Terrific. Any others?
Yes, one of my personal favorites that I've always been interested to know more about is premium branded gasoline worth paying the price? And as an observer who uses gasoline every day and fills up my car, I see regular prices and premium prices. My particular vehicle uses premium, and I see variations all over the map. I see 10 cents differences. I see 50 cent differences. I see a dollar differences across the city of Houston where we are. I've always wondered, is it worth buying Shell or Chevron versus getting your gas at Kroger or Walmart?
So
I'd like to drill into that and do a little more work on that.
So whether the Tiger's in the tank or Techron is really worth the money.
Exactly.
When you look at that, why don't you also take a look at what it really costs the refiner to make it, so that we can figure out if that's really as high a margin product as we kind of think it is.
All right.
As you go through your work here, I was lucky enough to attend the Argus Crude Summit in January, and they covered in their presentations some of the industry experts talking about your topic. So for example, the head of Hawley Refining did a terrific presentation. We also had a number of prognosticators on what the crude price was what it could look like. So again, for our audience, if we bring that kind of information to you, we'll certainly tell you our sources of the information. With that in mind, Joe, over the years, what kind of have you followed? How do you stay current on the industry? And what's been your secret weapon as far as staying current, especially as you've tried to sell services to clients? Where do you get your information?
Well, it's very important to stay networked, and now there are so many more ways to stay networked. Of course, I stay networked through professional associations, attending these seminars, and you can do that on the web now. You don't actually have to go. Our vehicle for informing people here at EKT is another avenue. I talk to clients all the time about what's on their agenda, what their challenges are, what problems they face, and what solutions they're seeking. And so you mix all this together, and you out of this comes a way to stay current. And of course, there's all kinds of other ways of finding information out in the media that we could never do before,
right,
that we didn't have back when you and I started out as young engineers.
But I noticed you did something that I always do, and we always reach for Hydrocarbon Processing Magazine, don't we?
Yes, we do. Oil and Gas Journal as well.
Oil and Gas Journal as well, because they're a good compendium of the current monthly point in time on what's going on in the industry.
You see, years ago, we couldn't find the information. It was difficult. Now, there's no shortage of information between what we can find on the web or other media means. So the challenge for us is just like clients. How do we make sense of this inundation, this big data of information coming at us, so that we can make decisions and understand what's really going on?
We're happy to have Joe Perino as an associate, and look for his upcoming podcasts. Thanks for listening. Be sure to visit www.ektinteractive.com to join our free oil and gas learning community today.